Reading from the book of Revelation, today beginning a series of three sermons about being stronger together and how important it is to be part of the fellowship of the redeemed. And before we get there, I got a couple of groaners for you. One person said, they told me I had type A blood, but that was a typo. And have you heard the rumor that broken pencils are pointless? And the Energizer Bunny got arrested for battery not too long ago. So anyway. In Revelation chapter 7, we see a picture. John, the apostle of Jesus, is able to see in this vision what is to happen in the future. And one of the glorious events that I look forward to is this great multitude that's gathered around the throne of God. And so here's John's description of that. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" Well, one of the blessings or the curses of the windows open is you get to hear all those other noises as well, but that's good as well. That's part of our community, and we appreciate those who serve. You've all done that little children's thing where you recite, "Here is the church, and here's the steeple, and open the door, and where are the people?" That's kind of been our motto almost for the last 6 or 8 months, I think, in some ways. But I believe that the church is not a building as much as it is people together. And Revelation chapter 7 is a picture of maybe God's glorious church someday gathered around his throne from every tribe and tongue and nation and language, singing praise and glory to God. It's a reminder that we will join that heavenly kingdom, and that fellowship of the redeemed is a powerful and precious part of the Christian experience in the day to come, but also I think for us as well right here and now. And fellowship and worshiping together gives life purpose and gives us a sense of being together about something that's bigger and greater than just our own lives and ourselves. The church began as a group of disciples gathered together. And in the book of Acts, some of these passages may not be on the screen, but the book of Acts talks about the disciples gathering together on Solomon's porch or Solomon's portico. And they gather there to eat together and to share the scriptures together and to learn from one another. And so in chapter 5 of Acts, verse 12, it says, "The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Over in chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it talks about the beginning of the church as well. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as I read those verses, I see at least four times, literally, the word together. And there are other times when you see them breaking bread or eating or sharing fellowship together. Many miraculous things happened because they were together. And the love and the caring and the sharing and the meeting of needs and all of that had an effect. The church continued to grow, and the fellowship of those who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb continued to make an impact. And I believe the church is still a major part of God's plan. And the people gathered together in whatever medium or whatever means they're doing that is a part of the kingdom of God at work. And heaven knows we live in a world that desperately needs the work of God in it. As we watch the news and as we struggle through the things that are going on, then I believe people still need each other. And we need the encouragement and the love and the hope and the guidance and the strength. People need to worship and sing together. I took a little poll at Boat Church. I'll see how you do. They did really well. But you know, last spring when we were watching church on YouTube and Facebook and all of that, and we had folks doing the music ahead of time, and then they'd play the songs, and we were supposed to sing. How many of you sang out loud? Good for you. Good for you. Because, see, I didn't do that very well. And somehow there was something missing. It was like all those other voices, all of those other people that were also singing. And I still have fond memories of being down at the little town of Denver, just starting out in the summertime. They didn't have air conditioning. They probably do now, but at that time they didn't. So the windows were open, and they had those little things that you get from the funeral home, you know, that you wave. It's that little thing on the stick. And so they were doing that, and I was outside, and I could just hear them singing. The windows open, and it just was such an amazing, glorious thing to hear the church singing. An article by a lady named Julianne Holt Lundstedt in the Health Affairs magazine says this: "The struggle to balance literal survival with all the things that make surviving worthwhile has never been so clear. With the COVID-19 pandemic forcing many to sacrifice social connections and therefore the quality of life for life itself. And yet, being socially connected in meaningful ways is actually the key to human health and survival. And somehow we have been so concerned about physical health. And yet health is so much more than just physical. Health has to do with emotions, and it has to do with things that matter in life that's meaningful. I believe that people die of loneliness, and people die for lack of being touched, physically touched, hugged, cared for in meaningful ways. And faith also dies and weakens as we are separated. Yes, we can watch it on TV, we can view it in this way or that, but something is missing when people are not together. Worship needs to be more than watching, and we need to sing together, and we need to be together and to share those meaningful things. And we've been going through this time of social distancing. And we've done our best to do that, I think. Some of us are more tired of it than others, perhaps. And some are maybe just more cautious and have the health concerns, and we understand that. But people are alone, and they're alienated, and they're afraid, and they're lonely, and they miss one another. And people suffer not just from COVID-19, though that's been a major issue, but other things like heart attacks and cancer. I visited with a neighbor not long ago. He had had a heart attack on April the 1st. And somehow during the middle of the pandemic, you don't just go to the hospital. Even if you're having a heart attack, you have to call ahead of time and you have to make arrangements. And so he made arrangements. They met somewhere on the highway, the ambulance, and went on to the hospital in Fort Wayne. And somehow we're so afraid of that virus, but there are other things that are happening, not only physically, but emotionally. And the distance is tough, and we miss the togetherness. And people are lonely, and there's something about singing and connecting and just being together that's meaningful and powerful. There's a fellowship of the redeemed, those who gather together because in a spiritual way their hearts and souls have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, at Bow Church, I received a jar of peaches from a sister in Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, I guess, my time goes fast, but I got a plate of cookies for my birthday from somebody else, and then somebody delivered a cherry pie for my birthday. I've been so blessed, and somehow I miss that when we're not together. But as well, baptisms. Today was one of those glorious days. And a couple of weeks ago out at the river, we had folks that gathered just to share in a special event. And we tried to keep separate and we tried to keep away. But somehow the tears that are flowing because of meaningful events and people and families, I don't like to miss that stuff. And I think it's so valuable for us. And so the Bible reminds us not to forsake meeting together. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day of Christ, the day we stand before him, that as long as we see that day approaching." The Bible reminds us that even in New Testament times, people were already in the habit of missing those meetings together. And somehow I believe that forsaking one another, forsaking the togetherness, can be dangerous. You've watched those nature shows, and you see when the lion or the tiger or that predator is looking out there on that flock looking for lunch. And the goal of the predator is to attack that flock and scatter them so that one gets isolated all by itself. And as soon as it's isolated by itself, then it becomes easy prey, becomes the victim all too often. We watch that and we see that happen, and we sometimes feel sorry for that poor little creature that's the victim, but in some ways we are the poor little creature, because in spiritual ways the enemy of our soul is seeking to separate us from one another, and as we do, then we become less faithful and less loyal and less able to fight that good fight. There are times that people need to be away, but too often being away can become a habit, a forsaking or a choosing other things over their fellow believers. And we need each other. We need you to be here, and we need your encouragement and your strength and your support. And so be careful if being away becomes a habit because there are consequences. Back in the springtime, we were quarantined and we were away and separated from one another and told not to meet, and even funerals were restricted to 10 people in the room. And we tried to adapt, and we did a pretty good job. And thanks to the guys that are good at technology, we've been able to stay online and do Facebook and YouTube and all of those things. And some of you have found watching the best way for you, and we applaud that. And thank you for being faithful for that. But something about the togetherness that we miss. Watching from a safe distance is a good thing, but there's something better about together. Some folks are introverted, and so aloneness for them isn't quite as difficult as those who are extrovert and they thrive on being around people. But even for the introvert, there's a need for that togetherness. You remember way back in the book of Genesis when God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so he created a helper. He created the man, a woman named Eve, where they could share life together. I believe that the church needs that togetherness. We are stronger together. We are better together. Together we're protected by the herd, if you want to see it that way, by the group, by the encouragement and the strength and the help of one another. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have. Together we're prayed for, and together we have people who help us guard our souls, and they teach us and they instruct us, and together we are protected and we're strengthened. We are made stronger by being together, because if you realize it, those who are bold in their faith, who are able to go and witness and share, and they do that outwardly, we learn from them and we follow their example. There are others who are caring and they are affectionate and they know how to say the right things and be the right people. They have that spiritual gift for caring, and somehow as we watch them, we see how they care for others, and we can learn to do the same thing. We're strengthened by being together, and we're enlarged. We're able to grow as we spend time together. We grow by being one, by being a church. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Together is essential, and together is better. And so am I advocating, forget the governor's orders, just throw caution to the wind and do whatever you want? No, I'm not doing that. And so those of you at home, I'm not condemning you, and those who are afraid or worried about health and you have those conditions and all of those things, I'm not saying don't do that, don't follow any protocol, nor would I say to a Muslim in his own country where it might be dangerous for him to go to church on a Sunday morning because he might be put in jail or imprisoned or killed for his faith. I'm not saying do the unsafe thing. But then I also want us to remember that sometimes being unsafe in one way or safe in one way might be unsafe in another way. And so physical health is not the only factor. Our mental and our spiritual health is important as well. When people stop exercising, at first it's relaxing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work. But long term, the effect is my muscles get weaker. My breathing is not as good as it used to be. My muscles are weaker and I'm more susceptible to injury. And so somehow the physical exercise is important. And the spiritual exercise, I believe, is also important. And so being alone part of the time is good. You need to have those daily quiet times and those times when you set apart and you're with God and you read your Bible and you pray and you listen. But there are also times that our faith is motivated by others. And we worship together and we care for one another and we challenge one another and we raise issues and we watch how people share their hardships and they go through those difficult times and they go through the hurts and the struggles and we watch them and we see how they, even in their weakest times, muster that faith and that courage to keep going, and somehow they're an example and a witness to us. I watched the news one day not long ago, and this man was being released from the hospital. He had suffered that COVID-19, and they were asking him what has been the hardest thing about having this illness. And he said, "I missed hugging my grandchildren and touching the people. I missed being able to be around the people I loved." I've read studies that babies in orphanages in other countries that are not picked up and held and talked to and loved have a tendency to perish. They don't remain healthy because there's another part to our makeup besides just physical. Loneliness has had some deadly consequences over the past 6 months, and I know that there are people who have died not from the COVID-19, but from the isolation, I believe. People who have said, "I can't see my loved ones. I can't be around the people I love. I got to talk through a telephone screen or maybe through the window, and my family's gone, and all I am is here alone. Why keep trying?" And I have loved ones, I think, have gone because of those things. And you know of people who, maybe it's the isolation or maybe the depression or maybe the suicide that's caused by all of these other circumstances and the fears and the struggles. And so the question, have you been alone lately? Have you been away, afraid? Do you notice maybe a weakness in your faith as well? Or maybe that fervent relationship you had is kind of being tested by the isolation and the fears of the pandemic. Do you tell yourself, yes, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and yet the Bible says, don't forsake meeting together. I think God knows we're stronger together, and God knows that we need to be together, and He encourages us. And we as believers, as we're together, there's protection and there's strength and there's growing and motivation. Last spring, one of the things, as if you were to ask my wife, she'd say he didn't stay home very well during that pandemic. And I didn't. I came here and it was alone most of the time, not very many people, but somehow I missed the togetherness, and I longed for that. And once in a while, somebody would stop in and knock on the door, and they'd crack it a little bit just to keep that distance. But there's something about that human interaction that's just so powerful, and we miss it. You miss it as well, and it's hard to be alone. And so we need to remember, yes, physical health is important. But let us not neglect the spiritual health and the emotional health of people, because the losses are powerful. The losses can be precious little ones that are watching, wondering how adults handle crises like these. And so here we are in the midst of a pandemic. How do you deal with that? Well, you don't ignore everything, but you somehow need to learn how to live out your faith and to trust God. And so what if the losses are spiritual? They're still significant and important. When we lose our spark, when we lose our faith, when we are way too long, it's so easy to just get casual in our faith. But the consequence of people staying away and allowing themselves to become weak in their faith is that somewhere down the road, there'll be a tribulation. Somewhere down the road, there'll be a death or a heartache or a loved one that's lost. Maybe you've been a part of that. I read an article that said that there was a man back years ago now. I think the charge would be more. He somehow advertised that for $5 you could talk to him for 30 minutes and he wouldn't interrupt you. If you needed somebody to listen to, you pay $5 and then you begin to talk. And he had a long list of people waiting just for somebody to talk to. I have a feeling it'd be a whole lot more, maybe like $300 now. I don't know what the psychiatrist charges. I think if you watch the Peanuts cartoon, it's still 5 cents. I'm not sure, but anyway. Somehow there are important things happening, and we need to remember that. We're stronger together, and together we're surrounded and strengthened by the fellowship of the redeemed, and we need to value that. And so this week, as you go about your business, pray about how can I cultivate people's health, physical health, and encourage them to keep that distance as they need to, but how do I encourage them in their emotions and their spiritual health, and how can we help people to enjoy that other piece of our life that's so important? How can you help people enjoy some togetherness, some community, some Christian love? How can you do that in safe ways? God is a God of creativity, and I believe that He'll help us to do that and to be creative in ways to do that. But let's remind ourselves as well, both of those pieces are important and significant. And so it's good that we can gather together. It's good that we can worship in here. We're able to distance a little bit because of that, and as the fall comes along and we have to bring our boat church inside, we'll have two services and try to separate as much as we can, but we also need to address and to minister to one another together as well. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that we have the example of that early church that met together and they grew because they were helpful and they encouraged one another and they taught one another and the example of the disciples to new believers, the teachings that they were able to share. And thank you, Lord, that we as believers have learned our faith from fathers and forefathers and parents. And Lord, we're sharing that with others as well today and this week and in our church. And God, we pray for that day that we'll all be able to come back together and feel safe. Until then, Lord, remind us that our health is important, both physical and spiritual. And thank you, Lord, for this time that we can be together. In Jesus' name, amen.